Hello. I studied the blade while you were out partying. But stuff still happened. So what's up? It's Labor Day. Do some labor. Wait, that's not the point. It's Labor Day. It's also September. Both of those shock me. To be fair, Labor Day and Memorial Day are both days that just don't exist in my mind until they happen. But it's Labor Day. It's been a noteworthy year after a bunch of noteworthy years. I'm out of notes, running low, too much paper. Point being, we're working our way through this. And it's rough, but we're just doing our best every single day. So thank you for being here. Last week's episode was a lot, but I really appreciate the support. I put in some focus to make sure there's good stuff later on in this episode. So we'll get there. But stateside, at the Office of Social Security, things aren't particularly secure. You may recall that DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, which was Elon Musk's weird foray into governance, wanted to get access to Social Security data. For those who are not experiencing the freedom of this country, Social Security is, one, the closest thing we have to, like, everybody having a national ID number, and two, literally just a number that we're supposed to protect with our life. If someone steals your Social Security number, they can do a lot of bad things, like a lot of bad things, like opening up bank accounts and shit. It's really whack that we don't have something better than just a number. It's like if someone found out your phone number and that gave them access to your bank. Obviously, it's not that simple, but having someone's name, address, and Social Security number can get you a lot. Anyway, DOGE wanted access to the Social Security Administration for reasons, because they were like, there's fraud here, but there's not really evidence of that. Note again the amount of times that Republicans have screamed that they're targeting waste, fraud, and abuse, and there have been exactly no lawsuits regarding waste, fraud, and abuse, which are things that require lawsuits. So these Musk goons went to Social Security, and despite being told they can't do this, they took all of the data and apparently uploaded it to some cloud service. Like, they made a secondary database that has less oversight. One of the people in charge at Social Security around, like, stewarding data resigned because they basically said, it is now impossible to do my job. These, like, barely 20-something-year-old tech bros came in, did something without our permission that's against the rules, and now I cannot guarantee the safety of people's information. It is generally frowned upon to take government information and rehost it elsewhere without permission and with no oversight. Generally frowned upon. There's no upshot here. The Social Security Administration is down a guy who's supposed to protect data because he doesn't think he can anymore. It's just that's where we are now. Okay, moving on. The CDC also lost a bunch of top-level people. The CDC is the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. It makes me endlessly mad that they didn't put AP, just do like CDC AP or something. But they are a punching bag for the right, especially ever since COVID started. They have just been so angry about the COVID vaccine. They want to just completely dismantle the CDC and any public health initiatives they can. RFK Jr., who is a well-documented anti-vaxxer, is the head of public health in the United States. And lo and behold, he's been pushing back against vaccines. The FDA just announced new guidance for the COVID vaccine, for like boosters and whatnot. If you're 65 or older, you can still get the vaccine. If you're under 65, it gets far more complicated as to whether or not you can get this vaccine. Whereas before, you could just go to a pharmacy and say, like, hey, I want to get a COVID booster. And they're like, cool, boop. Okay, bye. If you had insurance, mostly. But now it's just a mess, so much so that individual states and coalitions of states are trying to come up with their own vaccine guidance, just ignoring the Fed, because that's nothing. So where does it lie? As of right now, here's the best way I can explain access to COVID vaccines in the US. If you are over 65 and you have insurance, you can get the COVID vaccine at pretty much any pharmacy for basically free, if not literally free. If you are under 65, and you have a approved pre-existing condition, for example, asthma, then with insurance, most pharmacies in most states will give you the COVID vaccine free of charge. If you do not fall into those categories, and I'm ignoring like children under 12, then you're basically fucked unless you pay out of pocket, which might be up to like $250, depending on where you go. Now, you may be able to find something with or without insurance. Some insurances might cover more of it. Some might not cover it at all. Some pharmacies might cover it. Some states might have different guidance. Like I said, it's a fucking mess. A guy that basically every scientist in medicine across the world says is an idiot is the one giving them orders now. And they're like, well, we're just not going to follow them. But now you're just screwed. Deal with it. Deal with what they want to do. And if the doctors who are like educated in the fields that you want information about, if they ignore the guy with a worm in his head who eats whales, they're at risk of like retaliation from the government. So yeah, the CDC head was fired. The Trump administration got rid of her. And then a bunch of top other people from the CDC resigned because they were like, what the fuck? These aren't shadowy figures that are like making determinations about how they're going to trans your kids. These are infectious disease experts, people who study how disease transmits between humans and wildlife, shit like that. And they're just gone now. And there isn't political will to replace them. This administration is going after research universities, public health research, basically all science. Scientists are fleeing the US currently. It's really sad, and it's especially sad because it's just a bunch of scared, dumb people who voted for this. And the people who are actually doing the research and keeping those scared, dumb people alive have to deal with the fallout of those scared, dumb people. Maybe be a little less dumb, maybe be a little less scared, maybe think a little more about how your actions impact those around you. Anyway, speaking of bad policies that shouldn't be a thing, Trump's tariffs have been declared illegal by a court. An appeals court found that Trump's sweeping tariffs on basically every country in the world are unconstitutional. That's not a power he has. However, they're keeping the tariffs in place for now, even though they're unconstitutional. A court in this land has said, yes, we acknowledge that the executive branch is illegally taxing citizens, but we're going to let it keep happening because it would be too much effort to stop. So here's what's happening. They basically said, look, this is unconstitutional, but there's been so much will they, won't they with the tariffs that we're just going to leave them in place because we know the Trump administration is going to appeal this. And so I'm personally mad because a package that I ordered before the tariffs went into effect got tariffed. So if you voted for Trump, you owe me $62. So are the tariffs going away? Probably not. This is likely going to the Supreme Court. The Trump administration is going to appeal it. Trump has already categorized this court ruling as something that could potentially destroy the United States of America. Once again, this is a court ruling about whether or not the executive branch can issue tariffs. It's going to destroy us. We'll see. U.S. citizens have paid billions and billions of dollars in additional taxes to the Trump administration. That's what the tariffs are doing. Countries have done stuff like halting shipments to the US. None of this had to happen. And it's so frustrating because so many people very clearly said, this is not how it works. We shouldn't do this. This will be bad for everyone. And then we're here. Last thing for stateside. And then I promise there's a lot of good stuff coming up. Okay. There's a lot of good stuff. I promise there's a lot of good stuff later. But last thing for stateside. What is it? Oh, FEMA was hacked. Kristi Noem, infamous dog murderer and head of the Department of Homeland Security, announced that 24 people have been fired from FEMA's IT department after a massive security breach. Now, this is cool. This is cool. Apparently, there was some foreign actor that hacked FEMA, and they called it a threat to not just the organization, but the nation's security as a whole. How do we find out about this? We find out because Kristi Noem was like, hey, I fired some people. Let's move on. FEMA was hacked, and so I fired people. Wait, why do you care about the FEMA being hacked part? Wait, what does it matter? And so the Trump administration wants to use this as another reason to shut down FEMA, which is a thing they've been trying to do this whole time. This is real. The Trump administration fired the head of FEMA for suggesting that FEMA should continue to exist. That was not in line with this administration's policies, and so they fired the head of FEMA. For those who aren't, freedom, FEMA is our disaster relief organization, and our president wants to dismantle it. Because of lies. Like, he wants to... I was gonna move on, but he specifically wants to dismantle it because of lies about what FEMA did slash does. Like, enough people on Fox News said enough lies about FEMA's response to enough things that Trump believed them. And now he wants to dismantle disaster relief. So, that's cool. Hey, you want a break? I wouldn't mind a break. Sometimes life is a lot. And so I escape into the world of video games. A while back, as a video gamer myself, I made a secondary YouTube channel, Endeavorance Games, in which I uploaded various gaming content. I'm excited to say I have resurrected that channel, and already there is a new episode of the return of a Minecraft Let's Play series that I used to do a while back. The series is called Minecraft Sisyphus Edition, and it follows me attempting to beat Minecraft on hardcore mode, despite not really knowing how to do that. So it's just me going in with one life, trying to beat the game. If I die, I restart. But check out Endeavorance Games and that video. Okay, moving on. Elsewhere. All right, this one sucks. And then I promise it's a lot of good afterwards. But it's Israel. Israel launched an airstrike against Yemen that killed their prime minister. The situation in Yemen and the surrounding area is not clear cut. I will acknowledge that. But what happened here is Israel just bombed the head of government of Yemen. The argument is that the Houthi, who are in control of the Yemen government, are a terrorist group that threatens Israel. And so they got to do this to defend their national security, which is just what they say about literally everyone they bomb. The Israeli military claims that Yemen used cluster munitions against Israel recently. I have not been able to find an independent source outside of the Israeli media that verifies that. At the same time, they're ramping up their attacks on Gaza, specifically Gaza City, which is declared as a famine zone and is also now being bombed more. The international reaction is unimportant, I would say. I would tell you what the international reaction is, but it's the same that it always is, which is, what the fuck are you doing? Followed by nothing. I will say there is some movement. There have been more Western countries that are saying they're going to acknowledge Palestine as a state, which is whack. That's considered progress, but so this is really new. We don't have a lot more information here right now, but as of now, the people of Yemen have taken to the streets and demonstrated in huge numbers a desire to retaliate and standing in solidarity with the people of Palestine. But I think we are overdue for some good news. So let's look at Africa, where there is some really interesting movement in mRNA research for Ebola vaccines. You might not know this, but Africa is large. It's real big. Like, let's see. I'm gonna take a big sip of a drink. It's bigger than that. So now imagine that you are a vaccine and you want to travel into someone's arm in Africa. It's kind of difficult if you are a traditional vaccine because you need to be transported at a very low temperature, just like me. And Africa is very big and does not have a whole lot of places to re-up on cold while transporting long distance. So distributing vaccines is notoriously difficult, but mRNA vaccines trend towards shelf stable and are much faster to iterate on to tackle new strains. So there's been increased research and efforts put into production facilities to make mRNA vaccines in Africa to target things like Ebola. It's not perfect. The investments can be slow. Some things have started and stopped, but it's happening and it's a good move. mRNA vaccines got a lot of flack during the whole COVID thing, because again, conspiracy theorists, but they are safe. They are effective, and they are the right tool for this job. So it's really cool to see more investment into all that going on. Technology / science, which I guess that last one was also science, but whatever. Technology. If you have cancer, just open yourself up in MS Paint and edit that shit out of there. It was that easy this whole time. Researchers at the University of Minnesota have successfully used CRISPR gene editing to fight against gastrointestinal cancer. Researchers took 12 patients with late-stage GI cancer, which is largely considered not very treatable, and they used gene editing to convince cells to better go after the tumors. They, like, went in and deactivated a certain gene that I guess made the like, immune cells too shy or something, and boom! There goes the cancer! Several of the patients saw reductions in the size of their tumors, and one of them saw a complete disappearance of their tumors. Imagine having late stage cancer that you told is untreatable, and now it's gone. Gene editing is spooky. I'll acknowledge that. It sounds a lot like eugenics. It sounds like it could go pretty bad pretty quickly. But I want to clarify that this is like exploratory research. This is not a thing that you're going to go to the spa and just get some treatment done real quick anytime soon. It's expensive, it's invasive, it's rare, but this gives us a lot more information on how we can target these aggressive cancers. So that's pretty fucking rad. Let's talk about space radio. Radio Free Space. What up, y'all? It's your boy, Glorbomb. Welcome to Mornings with Glorbomb. That was my, like my little intro thing. I'm a shock jockey, but in space. Space has a lot of stuff. Some of it's radio waves. Some researchers in Canada were listening to the space radio and they heard a giant blast of radio waves. To be clear, it's not literal radio. They don't have an FM tuner listening to all the aliens jamming out in their garage. But yeah, there was a huge blast of radio waves that some researchers had picked up and they were like, what the hell was that? The radio waves were spectacular, bigger than anything we've ever seen. We didn't know where they came from. So the scientists sprung into action and found it. With the use of several telescopes, including the ever-famous Jimbly Wimbly Simbly Timbly, they found it. They traced the radio waves back to essentially a giant field of gas that's a birthing ground for stars, slash graveyard. Basically, it's a bunch of gas with a lot of stars in it doing a lot of gaseous star stuff. It could have been that some stars merged, maybe one of them like imploded or exploded or did some star things or turned into a pulsar, whatever that is. Something starish happened, and then it sent radio waves at us. Now, this is kind of not a big deal. It's not aliens. It's not a garage band from space. But it's pretty fucking rad that we were able to trace it back as quickly as we were able to. We now know that we can do this, and we can better say, oh, we just got like a big blast of radio waves. We know how to pinpoint that back to where it came from and figure out what's going on. Scientists have described the act of locating the origin of these radio waves as like trying to spot a quarter from 100 kilometers away. So hooray for the Jimbly Wimbly. Google is entering their Apple era. If you use Android, you might be aware that you can sideload apps pretty easily. 99% of the time on iOS, if you want to install an app, you have to install it through the App Store. And to get an app on the App Store, you have to get it approved by Apple. This means there's a pretty rigorous set of rules to actually get into the App Store, and they test it for like stuff like malware, things like that. It's not perfect, but that's what they do. On Android, that hasn't been the case. You can basically install any app on your phone from basically any source, and there's not a whole lot stopping you from putting whatever the hell you want on the Play Store. But as Google is continuing to try to compete with Apple, they have acknowledged that that's a big security issue. I will say, a lot of people specifically use Android for the flexibility that they're calling a security issue. But if you're like an IT professional and you're trying to lock down a suite of phones for a corporation or something, like you know this is a problem. So starting next year, Google is going to take a more Apple-y approach. They're going to lock down what you're able to install on major approved Android devices, which is going to be basically all of them. If it has Google Play services installed on the phone, that's a device that's going to be affected. And that's most of them, unless you've like installed a third-party Android operating system, which like great if you did, but you probably didn't. So just a heads up, if you're somebody who likes to use third-party software on Android, you install APKs, you sideload, whatever, you might want to look into making sure that you're going to be able to do that on your phone next year. But let's talk about automating cybercrime. First there was crime, then we made it cyber, but now it's automated. Beautiful. A single hacker, not even a hacker, a single dude used Anthropic's Claude code to extort 17 companies to the tune of millions of dollars. You may have heard the term vibe coding. Vibe coding is using something like ChatGPT, Claude Code, to build apps without really doing a lot of programming. You just tell the AI, I want to build this app, and it's like, okay, and it tries to build it for you. Someone did vibe hacking with Claude Code, and essentially what they did was use it for every step of the way to identify and extort 17 companies. First, they used it to identify their targets. They were like, hey, which companies would be the best to extort? Then they had it write malware to steal information from these companies. Then they had it analyze the data that was taken from the companies to figure out what should be used to blackmail the companies. Then sent the email to the companies saying like, hey, I got your data, give me money. All of this was done by one dude. It was a ridiculously fast turnaround. It was a huge wave of cybercrime. And it was one guy using a publicly available subscription-based software. Anthropic, the people who make Claude, they were like, well, you know, we're looking into it and we're trying to make sure this doesn't happen. You know, just be careful. As far as I know, the guy has not been caught, which is just wild. We also don't know who the 17 companies are, but we do know that one of them was a defense contractor. So someone was able to use an AI to hack a defense contractor with vibes. Lightning round. The Florida concentration camp, Alligator Alcatraz, may actually be shuttered. It's looking like they may actually vacate per the court order that I discussed last week, despite the fact that DeSantis is trying to push back against that. After a grand jury refused to charge him with a felony, the guy in DC who threw a sandwich at a Fed is being charged with misdemeanor. K-pop Demon Hunters is now the most viewed movie on Netflix. If you haven't watched the movie, go do that. It's so fucking good. Some dude in Canada went on a mission. His wife's wedding ring accidentally fell off her finger when they were cleaning some stuff up outside, found its way into the trash. The guy figured out what landfill it would be at and dug through the trash to find it. He is quoted in saying that he was optimistic that he could find it. What a guy. There's unearned male audacity that like does bad things. And then there's unearned male audacity that finds a literal wedding ring under tons of garbage after geolocating which landfill to go to. A piece of art that was lost after Nazis stole it from a Jewish curator 80 years ago turned up in an ad for real estate in Argentina. And finally for today, a Walmart vice president in their tech sector has been let go after being caught getting kickbacks from contractors to the tune of millions of dollars in exchange for favoring those contractors. If anyone wants to pay me millions of dollars to contract for Walmart, I'm all ears. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Stuff Keeps Happening. Head to skh.news for sources, bonus content, and the location of your lost wedding ring. My name is Endeavorance. We'll talk again soon. Take care and be well.